Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Friday, 22nd, January 2016. How did Ralph do yesterday? He did okay? I was down with some, made the best pancakes for breakfast that I ever made, and then promptly upchucked them. Some kind of disorder. Didn't taste as good coming up as it went down. Never mind. At any rate, this is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stettmiller, and I've got a little special treat today. Clint Richardson. Hello, Clint.
Greetings.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm feeling pretty good since I took a little break from the radio.
Yeah.
You ought to try it sometime. Oh, wait a minute. You're the boss. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Problem is, I can see myself, even if I did have the time and the money to take a vacation, my thoughts would never stray far. So it'd be like taking a vacation. Well, I can take a vacation in my mind right on the spot. Got a minute?
Well, I'll tell you what, first couple weeks, as I was trying to sort of take a break from it, I was actually waking up, I was talking to myself in my sleep, and I would wake up as I'm talking to myself in the sleep, and I'd actually be talking about something that I'm gonna write down in my book. It's just the most bizarre thing, and so that kind of calmed down a little bit, and now I'm back to normal, so.
Well.
I mean, you think about it so much that you think about it in your sleep.
Well, so, guess who I heard from today?
Well?
Just a wild guess.
I would say there's, with an introduction like that, there's only two choices. It was either God or Alex Jones.
No.
Although I think Alex Jones thinks he's God, so it's a tough choice.
No, that's one and the same. No. Dave Hodges.
Holy.
And I was kind of fascinated by that. I got a text last night. It was just simply, and I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody was, just having a little fun, you know, prior to April Fool's Day, which is not April 1st. It's actually April 15th. But I saw it and I thought, yeah, some joke. Well, I tracked it back and lo and behold. And I looked at the message and it said, how's the network doing? ? And I thought, really? So I gave that all the consideration it was due, probably 3.5 seconds. And then I forgot about it. Well, today I get another call. This time I get a call, not a text. And I answered the phone and I said, why are you calling me? Well, I just want to know how you were doing in the network is doing. And I said, seriously? I said, are you kidding me? Well, I didn't call you up to be confrontational. And I just hung up. You know, it's like... Excuse me. It's like the neighbor, Clint, that runs over your dog and kills him. And he shows up at your front door and he hands you your dead dog. Now, I know all things being equal, sometimes people do stupid things that they don't mean to do. But when you front everything off by saying that I don't want to be confrontational, excuse me, you're still standing there with my dead dog. Let me get over the shock.
Jeez. Well, I know I had him on the show once, but judging by his website and everything, isn't that what he sells, his confrontation? Isn't that what he specializes in?
It's the Muslims and it's Sharia law. When we've been under this Judeo-Christian crap, I always find this fascinating. And then there's a healthy dose of the fear, 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 fear. And then if you have three or four parties you're working with, it pumps up the fear on different channels at the same time. Oh, my God, it must be true. You know, Clint.
So basically what you're saying is the guy who took a big old crap on your forehead and big old crap on your network, he's calling to see how you're doing.
Yeah. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, I was literally in shock. I was literally in shock. You don't know what you did, you damn fool. And by the way, if you're looking for a time slot back, there's this guy on Sunday nights. What's his name? Robbie Raybould? that is killing any of your best numbers. And we have a tendency to try to stick to the playing field, the players are on the playing field, and trying to dissect and discern and disseminate as best we can. I don't need to be jumping off into paranoidville, which is rather fascinating because, you know, variations of Alex Jones, people don't want that anymore, or do they need it? Especially. Could you imagine, Clint, you're just carrying on your daily life. You don't know beans from shinola. You really don't. And then all of a sudden, boom, and there's somebody, run, they're going to kill it. What would you do?
What, did you just tell me and my family are going to die?
in paranoid speak, yes, I just did. Yeah, you're all going to die. You're going to die. Your family's going to die. We're all going to die.
And best of all, it's on this date. Oh, never mind. It's going to be this date. Oh, never mind. It's going to be this date. He's worse than the priest class who always made all those predictions about Christ coming back.
Well, and you know, it's kind of strange. You know, birds of a feather, they do flock together. So you just watch where they all roost, you know, and it's like this is not denigrating to the females, and I'm not really making a joke out of this, but it is true that several females live in one house and they're there with each other every day. They'll cycle their menstrual periods just with each other, almost like clockwork. So it's like watching these guys. They all get together in their little clutch, and you know, there's this, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like the paranoia feeds off each other. And I love the guys that want to bring in Jesus Christ and God into this. And this really, really gets me. Because most of the people that I have seen do that are as phony as, well, I was going to say a $3 bill, but a $1 bill, because we know that's all funny money any damn way. Mm. And, you know, I've always said to people, you know, true Christians that I have met, they walk with their faith. They are their faith. They don't have to tell you about it.
You've actually met one?
Yeah, I think I have.
Really? Because all I see are members of corporate churches.
Well, but you know, given that, you know, yeah. I don't want to delve into the religious thing here, but the book has already been written. You know, there were no amendments to the book. It is what it is. And what it simply was here's your commandments. Here's your list of to-dos. And if you do that, guess what? Life is going to be a whole lot better. The problem is not everybody tells the truth or not. And I kid you not. I was thinking about this today. I just stopped at the bank and I had to do a little cash checking, and two Iranian guys are sitting in this bank, and when I first walked in, they give you the free coffee, right? So I'm getting the coffee, and I turn around and look, and there was an old guy and a younger guy, and they're both sitting there staring at me. And I'm like, okay. So I took note of that, looked and scanned, and I always do this automatically, the environment I'm in, and I take note. Everybody should make that a matter of habit. But I got done with it, and I'm walking towards the tellers, Clinton. The younger kid... The old guy averted his gaze, but the younger, he's probably 20, 21, kept staring at me, and I was walking by him, I'm looking directly at him. And I looked at him, and I said, "Do I know you?" And he looks at me, and he answers my question, "No." Well, culturally, he wasn't really up to speed, because guess where he was from? Syria! So I'm like, oh gosh. You know, do you guys understand what's being pumped up here? If you claim you're from Syria, or God knows Iran, you know, you'll probably be part of a terrorist cell next month or next year. Depends on how they want to paint you. But, you know, I told him, I said, look, I said, this is a little bit different culture. You know, things aren't normal here, and some people are on edge. So it's polite not to stare at people, especially if they look back at you and return your stare. That's the sign that says break off. But as I was leaving the bank, there was a Japanese guy. you know, I'm literally on a potpourri here, I guess, of the globe. I think I was at its intersection here, coming out of that bank. But there, a Japanese guy. And Japanese people are generally polite. If you look at their culture, Clint, you look at how they treat each other. And this was truer probably prior to the 60s, 70s, 60s, most assuredly. You know, it was one of respect. You openly showed your respect to people that you met. You know, a little bow, that kind of thing. Which, you know, when you think about it, it just kind of warmed my soul a little bit, because I thought, you know, isn't that the way things should be? That we run across each other and we immediately designate or indicate that we have respect. You know, and then we see people here that deserve no respect running around commanding and demanding I respect them, and there's nothing respectable about them at all. So, you know, culturally, it's an interesting thing that we see going on. Now, you and I were talking earlier today, and I was describing parallel universes. And without going down the mystical rabbit hole too deeply, We are in a strange area. I mean, we have the Matrix, and we've lived all our life in that. Well, we're real familiar with it. And then we find out that, wait a minute, this isn't the way things are supposed to be. So here is another parallel universe, simultaneous, and we're trying to pull from this and make sense of that and plug it in over here. And I think a lot of people are getting confused. If they're using that Clint Richardson as a standard, I can see where people's confusion may come from.
Well, you know, my whole spiel, what I was trying to really get across, more than anything on my particular programming slot, was very simply that we are not acting as ourselves, that we've allowed the opinion or the image, if you will, of ourself. For instance, in the Matrix movie, it would be the projected self-image, right, as you're walking around in this fiction, and you're basically subsuming a character according to the strange, if you will, parallel universe that you're walking around in, instead of reality. You know, what's happened is that we've assumed this sort of strange cultural identity, includes our name, our numbers, our marks, our signs, our sigils, our oaths, our, you know, basically all the things that are against the Bible, essentially, against religion, against the spiritual notion of life. And you're literally walking around in sort of this legal, identity, this matrix, code that because you are a surety, you're ensuring the fact that your person will appear in court whenever it's summoned, which is property of government. You're literally bound by the law of persons. You're not bound by any moral or spiritual law, not the law of God, not the law of nature, not the law of this, not the law of that. You're bound by the law that governs that person, because you're acting as that thing with its number, its name, its marks, yeah, all of the social security numbers. You're signing in its name, which is a government name. You're doing everything for the benefit of another. That's our problem. We're not doing things. I'm not going up to you and if I don't know you, especially, and looking at you as if you're some sentient being that I want to love and cherish and give charity to. I'm looking at you as a potential customer, a potential money source, a potential friend in commerce. When I never look at you as anything but something that has to do with money or profit or something legal. Can I sue you, for instance? Are you going to harm me? We never look at each other in love, just pure love and charity. It's always something legal, right? You have a title, a flattering title. You have, you're a higher status than I am. You have a badge that somehow I'm supposed to respect. Mm. You have a title that I'm supposed to respect. I don't look at you as just John.
Yeah.
I look at you as, hey, you're John of the network, Republic Broadcasting, right? So you have some strange authority in my mind. Instead of just talking, you know, people come up to me, they want to meet with me. For instance, when I went back to Sacramento, I met, you know, to see my parents, I met up with a listener, and, you know, it was, I'm like, you know, there's no celebrity. There's no, I'm nothing. I'm just a guy who did a little, you know, soul searching and did a little research. There's nothing special. Don't look at me as anything but love and charity. And that's all I want. And I, it's kind of, you know, I know you've experienced it. Fuck, when I met you, it was sort of the same thing. I was looking at you sort of as a, hey, this is like an employer or something.
I remember that meeting very well, and I was, I didn't know where we were going, but that is what I like to do. I like to do the meet and greet and press the flesh and look into each other's eyes and, you know, then go from there. You know, and I know what, Clint, man, I know exactly what you're saying. A lot of people want to treat me as I'm celebrity, and people have suggested I jump in. Well, you can run for president, or maybe, you know, governor. You know, No. But, you know, I appreciate where that's coming from, but here again, this is what the Matrix has trained us in how to think. It's the celebrity or the status or the name or whatever's connected with it. And many people will think that way towards you, and they just want to, you know, in some ways, I don't want to say that it's good. You have their attention. And as long as you're steady in your message, as long as you don't waver, as long as you're working off of a platform of ethics and morality and all that other good stuff that, geez, it used to be normal, now it's the exception, I guess, in people. But, you know, the people that listen to this network and the people that I deal with, they want to be better. They want to get out of that matrix. They want to demonstrate that they are better than that, and they can be better than that. And I'll give you one prime example. You know, there's a reason why my bank doesn't put a hold of even one day on checks, and it doesn't matter if it's from Bangladesh or Canada or, you know, from Ohio, a donation or something. They will not hold the checks because I've told them, I said, look, I'm just going to remove the reason why you supposedly hold the check, you know, for everybody's benefit, to make sure that funds are there. I said, funds are there. I've not received a bad check in 23 years. And as many years I've been dealing with this bank, well, my message to them has been proven time and time and time and time again. But it's this new thing. It's this new paradigm, Clint, that's starting to reemerge. And it's refreshing. It's not moving fast enough for me. But the worm is starting to definitely turn. 2016 is going to be a very, very interesting year. I hope everybody's paying attention. Because it's going to be at least very interesting. Hopefully not deadly from either side. But we'll get into that subject matter as well, I am sure. Clint Richardson, former talk show host, on hiatus, he tells me. About a month away from finishing his book, and we'll talk to him about that. And then we're going to talk to him maybe about him coming back on a network. But he doesn't want to do it on a daily basis. And did you guys notice the weekends were full? Thing leads to another. Now, that's the kind of bump I like, man. I could have let that whole song play. I was just sitting there.
I was dancing, man. You know, The Fix is actually one of my favorite groups because, you know, I grew up in the 80s. And they've got a couple songs out there that, you know, when you actually look at the lyrics to the songs, they're, I mean, it's some of the best writing I've ever seen. One of the lyrics was, it was like priest or politician, they're both frightened of angels or something like that. It was wonderful. So.
Well, and Mikey here, Mikey, how old are you now? 37? Yeah, I think you missed the 60s. You know that, Clint, there's something about people that came out of the 60s that still have a mind left. But they just have a different taste in music because literally they grew up on rock and roll.
I figure they were preserved from all those drugs.
I beg your pardon. People have told me, well, you look younger than you actually are. And I'm thinking, Is that the reason?
Yeah, I think it's because you guys actually had the natural, unaltered marijuana back then that just had the perfect, you know, combination.
I've never inhaled.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well. You know, hey.
God, I can imagine what you'd be like if you did. I mean, you'd be incredible.
You think I'm nuts now?
Oh, man.
Did he drop? Okay. If you guys want to call in, I got Sid. Sid, if you want to call back in, you can. Usually what I like to do is announce the phone number, and that's the cue to for people to call in.
Well, I'd actually like to have Mike Hodges call in, because I'm perfectly, you know, more than willing to bury any hatchet. I'm totally about forgiveness, and I would love to have you bury the hatchet and just have forgiveness. I think that would be wonderful, if that's even possible.
Bury the hatchet on what?
Well, you know, you're always going to have a grudge. You're always going to have a grudge in someone that, again, poops on your forehead and poops on your network.
Please don't invite that. Please don't invite that.
No, really. I mean, this is what it's going to take. You know, this is one of the things that Walter Burian was always stressing to me as I was learning the financial reports and all, where all the money is hidden and everything. He said, you know, because I was always about, when are we going to get him? When are we going to go get him? When are we going to, we're going to put him in jail? We got to do it. And he kept telling me this thing over and over. It took me a while to really understand what he was trying to get at. And he said, look, the only way you're ever going to change this system, which and at this point I don't believe is changeable. It's built on corruption. It's built to support a corrupt bunch of, you know, things. But the only way you're ever going to change the system is if you... It's forgiveness. You're going to have to realize that every single one of us, whether you're a banker, you're a politician, whether you're a citizen, whether you're an employee, whatever it is that you're doing, we're all acting as agents of government. We're all doing these bad things because we have license to do them from government. We're going to have to forgive each and every one of ourselves. We're going to have to actually have forgiveness for even the most corrupt man out there.
All right.
If you threaten
to promise not to shoot him. Okay.
If you threaten to put these politicians all in jail, do you think they're ever going to give up their throne? But if you say, hey, let's just call it quit. Let's realize we've gone off the deep end. Let's call it quits. Let's start over. Let's figure it out. You guys come back to reality. Come back to whatever. And let's start over. Let's do something. But if you say, well, we're going to hang them high, they're going to send the military after you.
And Clint, I don't know if you ever listened to my show, but I've said that exact same thing. I've said, you know, some people want revenge and they want get back. And, you know, I would just be happy with them just kind of throwing their hands up and smiling and kind of stepping back and then just disappearing. I would go for that. And I've said this before, and I guess it didn't go too well with a lot of people. I said, you know, this has got to be done with a different eye. This has got to be done with a little bit of love. And I know it's going to be hard to conjure up with people that were really in doing damage to other people.
Right.
But that's what's got to be done, because here's the risk that you run. You run the risk of actually becoming them in your just cause. And what happens is, well, you just end up being no better than them. All right, let's take this break. We'll open up the phones, 800-313-9443. I got Clint Richardson today.
Do what must be done.
There's an infinite variety of good bumper music out there, isn't there, Mike? Talking with Clint Richardson today. And Clint, you know, it takes a special appreciation to say the words that you did. Because literally, I mean, as Don Henley once put in a song, he says, I think it's about forgiveness, you know. Even if you don't love me anymore. Well, these people never loved us, obviously. But, you know, the negative, has to be put in abeyance, and we just need to get on and get done what needs to be done. I mean, it's that simple. I don't know what your priorities are, but, mine is, dump the Fed Reserve and, let's tear this administrative state apart. That's my two. I don't even know if there's a close third. I don't even know, because I know two of those actions will eliminate about 98% of the problems that we're having right now.
Yeah, I mean, I I understand that point of view. I look at it from the opposite point of view, which is to say it's not the administrative state that is the problem. It's our state.
Yes.
Because there's nothing to administrate if we don't respect their designs and their persons and their numbers and all that stuff. So really, and I tell people a lot, man, it's not, you can't blame anything but yourself, because we're all volunteering to be citizens. We're all volunteering to use all the benefits and therefore fulfill all the obligations.
Oh, okay, but let me expound on that point, because it's a very good point. But let me just take that a step further. The problem is that the people, this has been, God, I can't believe I'm going to use this analogy, but it is a proper one. Over the years, you know, it's the frog in the boiling pot.
Yeah.
And people did not understand that things are getting hotter and they're more uncomfortable and they don't know why. They still don't, because we have a corporatized media in this country with an agenda, and that agenda is to keep the truth from you at all cost. And if we do tell you something, we're going to twist it, or we're going to misrepresent it, or we're going to do a mirror reflection of what we're actually saying is really what's going on. That's why I do what I do here at this network. And to this day, bottom line, people of a country, you end up with a government that's tyrannical, that turns on you, that wants to regulate you and, you know, create little agencies that claim to have power. The classic example, the Bundy situation right now. Well, the Bundys had to go around last year with a BLM, and they didn't exactly show up, you know, empty-handed. They just didn't show up in their little uniforms or little badges on. No, they come loaded for bear. They were going to take and move cattle and kill them if they couldn't move them, and God knows what else. Well, that's the here's the administration does. It creates itself, makes its rules and regulations, then gives it its own enforcement, and then there's penalty and up to and including death if you resist. And that ain't the way it's supposed to be. First of all, you know, you got a pretty good understanding of the Constitution. I don't see it talks about any agencies in there. And what they've done is used that administrative state. Yeah, they've been administering to us all right, but they've done it, and they did it intentionally to walk away from the constraints of that Constitution.
Sure, that's what the United States was. The United States was created essentially as a commercial vehicle. It's purely a commercial entity. And it was created by the private people of the private states. And so you know, when you're reading the Constitution, you have to read it in their eyes. It's a negative document that protects them, because they're the only ones that have reserved all rights. When we act in a United States citizenship, which is it's a creation of the administrative function, then we're not a party to the Constitution. We haven't reserved our rights. We haven't bared our arms. We haven't done anything.
Well, it wasn't written for us, Clint. It was written for them. That was their comic book that they weren't supposed to color outside the lines. But
this goes back to the notion of respect, right? So even the notion of respecting persons and flattering titles and all that, when it comes from the scriptures, that's one thing. But when it comes to to punish these guys, you would actually have to respect their system of punishment. You'd actually have to respect their courts their jails and all of that stuff.
Either you're
going to have to just, you know, hang them from the nearest chair.
No, we're not in Japan, and we're not, you know, taking the cursory bow, recognizing each other as a human being, and we deserve respect. No, that, that would be nice. But that is not the way this thing is hooked up. And funny you should mention that, Clint, because I was watching Fox News today, which the reins are being turned over to the son, and he's a big Hillary Clinton fan. And, well, that'll tell you what direction Fox News is going to take in the future. Not that they were the conservative source of news, but at least they put up an imminent front to try to convince people that we're at least conservative.
I don't know what the hell it is.
Let's go to John in Wisconsin. Hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Stadmiller. Hello, Mr. Richardson.
Turned around to see if my dead father just walked in the door.
All right.
Okay.
Are you from Wisconsin? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Mr. Stadmiller, you can call me John.
Oh, I got you.
All right.
Well, let me see if I can make 2016 more interesting. Did you know the American Freedom Party is endorsing a candidate against Speaker Paul Ryan?
The American Freedom Party.
Yeah, your James Kelso.
Yeah, I think the Donald.
No, they're sponsoring a candidate against the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That person would be me, one of your listeners. We've actually filed the paperwork now, and I'm going to try to get signatures in Wisconsin's 1st District, and we're going to see if we can't put some heat on those people.
Okay.
So you're saying you're gonna try to be elected to office?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, freedom.
Wait a minute, John. How does one become elected Speaker of the House? You first have to become.
No, we're gonna bounce the Speaker. I'm just gonna try to take his seat because we already know he passed the budget.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay.
Yeah, he's out of the speakership if he loses his seat.
Okay, so the seat has not been filled.
Well, no, he's still got his representative seat, but he was elected Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
So he's going for Congress.
He's already failed as a Republican or anything else. I mean, they got rid of Boehner, right? Everybody was so angry with Boehner, from Michael Savage to you guys to everybody else. And what happens is, Paul Ryan gets in there. Larry Pratt says he's Boehner on steroids with regards to the guns. He passes that $1.8 trillion budget. I mean, yeah. Giving the Democrats everything he wants. Then he goes on Fox News Sunday last weekend and says, well, now we're just going to repeal and cut all that spending in 12 steps, and we're going to spend money like run the appropriations like the founders.
Oh.
Nobody's buying it anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. By the way, Clint, I wanted to mention something that I've had this argument about the founders, that they set everything up in a corporate, scenario. And I don't agree with that, because I started to say before we took this call and we went to break, I was actually watching Fox News today, and they were talking about politics and this, that, and the other, and talking about, they actually started mentioning the founders. And of course, they left out one very important thing, that these people were rich and they were influential and all that stuff. But that's where they stopped. But upon closer examination, the people that were part of the formation of this country, if it was just all for revenue and business, you know, got to do business. You know, we want to break away from King George III's type of business, and we're going to do our own business. Well, they didn't do a very good job. Because most of them died broke. Half of them were hunted down, and the other half died broke. So if you were to set up a state that, you know, that kind of deal. At any rate, well, John, good luck with that. I don't know where that's going to go. You know, maybe you'll get a good Texas tailwind from down here, down south, and maybe that'll blow you into the office seat. But isn't that kind of a stretch?
Well, it probably is, but like I said, if we don't put heat on these people, I mean, you know, the reason they're talking about the founders, the reason they're talking why the Oregon thing is national news,
yeah.
It's because the independent media and guys like you, we've been making an impact. All the Ron Paul people listen to alternative radio, mm-hmm. They start looking into it, and they go, hey, the Constitution, you can't do this. Now these actors in Washington, D.C., they've come back to us with that stuff. You know, Glenn Beck, all these guys, they come back to us trying to pacify us that these guys are actually going to obey the Constitution,
yeah.
When we know darn well they're not. Paul Ryan has been there for 17 years. He's a prime example of somebody who goes into Washington, maybe with some conservative emotional fervor, but look what he turns into. He turns into one of them.
Well, you know,
why not have a common citizen run for office?
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. I certainly don't want to do that, and I don't want to dampen anybody's spirit. But yeah, there's a lot of people that listen to alternative media, but by far, it's the numbers are not great enough. And this is the problem that we have, is we are in an administrative state that is devoid of any good information that these people are receiving. And that's the problem. That is the problem. Now, if everybody knew what Clint Richardson or I knew or you knew, John, that might be hell, that'd be a horse race.
I always said that, you know, the only reason why I would ever run for any kind of office like that, and I'm pretty reasonable when I say that there's, I might become a House member, but I don't think senators, I think senators are reserved for basically the insiders.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I always said the only reason I would do that is because I would filibuster every freaking day.
Yeah.
And well, I would do a radio show for 10 hours a day.
Well, and you could be the new Ron Paul, as known in Washington DC as being Dr. No. John, let me ask you a question here, because something very funny is happening in the Rhino Party. And they're turning against Ted Cruz, which is the only challenger to Donald Trump. And I find this rather fascinating, and I can't figure out why. Why is the Washington establishment turning on him and not Donald Trump when Trump was the one in the lead? They'd much rather have Trump than that guy.
Well, I find it interesting too with the National Review article where they're splitting. I mean, all of a sudden Sarah Palin's endorsing Trump, and then Liberty University tacitly endorsing him.
Right.
These are quasi-Zionists. We know what they are. They're neocon people or neocon organizations. So now that there's so much conservative media, so much neocon media, either the Weekly Standard to anybody, you know, Sean Hannity and all the radio shows, it's almost, I mean, everything's like a theater. I think we realize it is a theater.
Sure.
But what I'm trying to do is a simpleton. I'm saying, look, all of our angst, all of our righteous anger, we have no power unless we have seats in representative government, and I get it. If I'm one out of 535 people, what impact am I going to have? All I can tell you is you're not going to catch me. I'll turn limit myself. I'll go two turns maximum, and somebody better be behind me to pick up where I left off. But,
yeah.
You know, Ron Paul said we can't turn this country, we can't turn an aircraft carrier around on a dime.
That's right.
So ride this wave? Why not ride the Trump wave? Find out if the lay people, the 80% who don't vote, find out if they really are ticked off.
Well,
and see if they'll put common citizens in the legislature.
And I only see a couple of problems with this, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just trying to be objective about this. Plugging yourself into that matrix, you will be dissolved.
well, they are. If we do legitimately put heat on these people, why couldn't I get a Larry Pratt endorsement? I should get one immediately.
Yeah. Well,
if there's no other challengers to Paul Ryan, if it's just me. And if we put heat on him, Paul Ryan could do something like, hey, I want to have a debate on TMJ, you know, Milwaukee.
Right.
I want to have a debate with this guy and find out this guy knows absolutely nothing about nothing.
Well, go ahead.
There's a bit of a problem that I see, and this is by no means any degradation to you or your campaign. The problem is, the first thing you would have to do if you were elected is some kind of voting reform. And of course, you're never going to get there because the voting is so, so, so corrupt. I mean, you'd actually have to get rid of Diebold or whatever corporation is doing your digital voting. I mean, you'd have to completely reform the ballot structure in order to even get elected. Because of course, when you go and try to get elected, if for some reason you get the popular vote, which I wish you all the luck, those figures can very easily be changed.
Yeah.
And so it seems to me, yeah, it's almost like a circular sort of failing, not to be negative, like you say, but it's like the one thing that you'd have to reform is the campaign,
yeah,
the voting structure, and to do that, you'd have to be in office.
Well, and here's the problem. John right now in Wisconsin, he's an outsider. The Matrix and the players of the game, they've built this thing. And in order to make the change, it is not going to come from the inside out. It has to come out from the outside in. Now, how is that going to be accomplished? I can only think of one way. And if there's enough scared federal judges out there, or federal judges that actually, in the deep little cockles and recesses of their heart and soul, that they really do believe in freedom and liberty, and not all of them do not. I mean, a lot of them are activist judges. We've covered that ad nauseum. I get it. But what I've been suggesting is the stench, you know, if you can't smell the odor when you're in the outhouse, you shouldn't be elected for anything. If you don't know what you're dealing with, number one, you shouldn't even be involved.
That's why I said the only positive thing I can think about running is possibly getting some air time where you could actually teach people this kind of stuff, and then possibly getting a podium that you could actually be on. In C-SPAN or whatever, teaching people.
Yeah, well, and there's very few venues in which you can do that. But what I'm saying, it from the outside, to change it from the outside in, and I started to say about federal courts, is if we can get this damn Bundy thing back in, it's really a Hammond case, back into a federal court, they're embarrassed right now. And I keep telling people the FBI is not going to move on these people. Because it's the last thing the FBI needs right now is a black eye. They really don't. They've got enough screw-ups that people are very well aware of right now. And aside from that, you've got a U.S. congressman talking about the situation. You've got state legislatures out there in Oregon. You've got people that were in that matrix that they don't like the smell of it, and they're stepping out of it and going, foul, I'm not going to play this game with you people. So this would be a perfect opportunity for us to get this back in a federal court and shove this right back up their administrative tailpipe. And that's what I'm talking about when making it viable to change this political system, the federal system in Washington, D.C. It's got to come from the outside in. All right. John, thanks for your call and good luck. We'll be back with Clint Richardson. I'm your host, John Statmiller. You're listening to the National Intel Report. We'll be back in three. God knows where. Mike in South Carolina, you're up next. You're speaking with Clint Richardson and the guy that's running the show. I forgot his name.
Hi, Guy, and welcome, Clint. Good to hear you again.
Thanks.
Okay. How should I say this?
Just say it outright. That's the best way.
Okay, here it goes.
All right.
You take politics out of all these decisions being made, and you won't have half the problems you've got, okay? Completing recall in every political position and have 66% of the people vote to have recall and bring the funds back into your state and put them over your knee if you have to. If they don't like it, you just tell them to get the hell out and we'll go and find somebody else to do the job. If you're not going to do the job and obey what the guidelines are and play in the sandbox, you go find another sandbox to play, and that's exactly what they've done. Now, both of you have agreed to something that I absolutely do not agree with.
Okay.
That is, John, I refuse to take responsibility for any of this nonsense that's going on. And that is because of two things, Clint. I've never gotten full disclosure, and I've never got the full truth. Okay? You keep lying to me with propaganda, Jewish propaganda on the news media, and through every other damn source that is out there. You can't make good decisions unless you've got good input. Okay? So this crap about having to make decisions based on lies, I'm not going to take responsibility for it. You're going to lie to me? That's fine. I'll make a decision based on your lies, right? Is that right? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got too much crap going on right now, and it's time that I will not accept responsibility for that behavior or that thinking either. Okay?
Well, and Mike, and let me stop you right here, because I don't think that's the intent of either Clint's message or mine. When we talk, okay. When we talk about this, just say on the issue of we don't have time to jail all these people, try them, or line them up against a wall and shoot them for treason. Because
the
what?
Hell we don't.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on 1 second. I'll let you talk as long as you want to, but you got to promise. You got to promise to let me talk as well. Okay.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Let me finish my thought here. We don't have the time or the energy to do this. Okay, and you're missing the point of what this is going to do to our little souls. Okay, having said all that, a lot of these politicians don't think that they're doing anything wrong. A lot of people within the states don't think that they're doing anything wrong. A lot of people on town and city councils, county councils, they don't know that they're doing anything wrong. They are just joining in on what's already been created. And what they're lacking in, even though they took an oath of office to it, to protect and defend, and it says nothing about allegiance to a democracy whatsoever. Given all that, I think the best way, in order to have them, as Clint said, just step aside. You know, the constitutional people that understand what the constitutionally limited republic is supposed to be, we're moving in. And please move out of our way. I don't want to run them over with a tractor trailer. I don't want to shoot them. I don't want to... I would love to see certain politicians in a steel cage for the rest of their lives. I've got those same feelings. But in practicality, You know, this is the approach. So I'm not taking responsibility for what these people did. I know what they've done. I've spent 23 years looking at what they've done and how they have screwed things up. Now, is there an agenda behind this? Most assuredly. But the players and actors that have been in and out of government all these years, they don't recognize it. Because they call that now a conspiracy theory. Oh, that can't be. Well, Clint hit it on earlier. We had a little thing called the 17th Amendment. The reason why he'd want to be a congressman is because that Senate's totally owned. That's not representative. That's not representing the state. Well, that's what we used to do, is send our senators over there as ambassadors to Washington, D.C., almost treating them like it was a foreign soil. Now, I'm going to let you respond to that. We're coming back second hour, 800-313-9443. Mike in South Carolina, you don't go anywhere. We'll go to Rob in Chicago and others. I'm spending this time today what should I call him? A great man? Clint Richardson?
You're kind of a bitch.
We're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 22nd January 2016. Under clear skies, no chemtrails in sight in Central Texas. And I'm going to get a lot of calls. Well, they're spraying here today. Well, they're not here. Mike in South Carolina, please continue, sir.
Thank you, John. The only way these people would be able to get off the damage they've done to this country is to be able to return everything they've stolen, all the fraud they've committed. Then they can walk if they want to.
Yeah,
they're not
going
to get away with walking out without paying a price for it.
Well, and Mike... Mike, if
I thought I got the chance to talk, John. Oh, go ahead. Look, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Your ego is right there, man, and I just don't get a chance to finish what I'm saying. So go ahead, John.
Silence.
May I interpose a question for you? What have they stolen?
Mike?
Officially, what exactly have they stolen, in your opinion?
In my opinion, the integrity of this country.
What was that integrity?
Well, if you go back into 1845, when you start manipulating the words in the Constitution and what they represented, all of a sudden they start becoming wordsmiths. You have to become a lawyer to find out what the definitions are. I've got over 20 years of high-level computers, John. Plant. I know what redefine means. Look what the word redefines a computer means. You can redefine any way you want to, for as long as you want to, as many times as you want to. We have to get back to some simplicity. It's all fraudulently being put in front of us. And because of full disclosure, we're not getting full disclosure, you don't understand what's going on. Clint, you do, because you've got those redefines behind you. You've studied those. But I don't want to become a lawyer just to be able to survive. It's just so damn criminally corrupt out there. Look at the money that's being paid to these congressmen to give that TPP, the shortcut for TPP, right here in South Carolina. One of our congressmen got $19,600 just to make that vote. How about that?
Yeah.
They're all being blackmailed, John,
yeah.
Clint.
Well,
they're all being blackmailed, and that's the problem. They've got control of the Federal Reserve, the money they can print up anywhere they want to, and just issue a check and say, here's your Cayman Islands, just vote this way. That's exactly how this thing's working.
Okay, so Mike, you got 20 years computer stuff behind you. When did you wake up? I mean, to really find out what was going and who was pulling whose strings and why the world turns as it does.
That was a very, very, that's a very good question. I opened up about 15 years ago.
Okay, all right. Well, what Clint and I basically are saying, and I don't want to speak for Clint, I'll speak for myself here, that we have a job to do, and we've got a short amount of time to do it. And Mike, you're angry, and I understand that anger. Trust me, I understand it. Trump has turned that into a political campaign. People's anger and frustration. I get it. But the change is necessary to be made. I don't know, to be honest with you, as I said, this has been a gradual reformation of this country. It's now the world's greatest democracy, okay? It's not a republic anymore. It's the world's greatest democracy. So I understand what you're saying and why you're saying it. I'm just saying I had two simple things on my little list, just two. There's a myriad of problems out there, but taking the approach of rather than getting angry and fighting against what they've what they have done and fighting against them individually. We just collectively, if I can use that stupid term, get together. We know the job that needs to be done. Let's get together and do the job. We will cut the umbilical cord. We will cut this cord to the government by doing those two things that I suggested. Number one, Federal Reserve, you knock out their power, because that is their power, and you take their political power by checking that administrative state and doing away with it. And you said it yourself, Mike, that look, you know, lawyers and all this other stuff and all the graft and the corruption and all that stuff, we used to have more of what was considered to be common law by common men for the common good. But that's not what we have today. And we get that. We understand it. So there are steps that need to be taken. And when we start agreeing on what needs to be done in order to right this ship, that's what we got to do, man. I hear you, brother. I mean, Mike, I'm with you. Because I get angry as well.
I'm just tired of talk, okay? Clint, bring back the 13th Amendment. Do away with both parties, the Democrats and Republicans. Bring in a party called the American Do Right Party. Do what's right for America, for its people, and hell with the rest of the people. Anything we can do after that, we are a country that has a reputation of sharing. We'll go out, we'll help anybody else we possibly can. But you can't bring all these damn people in here who don't know jack crap about what we're doing.
We are being
completely, totally destroyed because of that.
Thank you.
Stop now. I have a vested interest in this country. I've been here for over 400 damn years in my country, and I'm damn tired of these minorities sitting here and saying, oh, that confederate.
Okay, Mike, I get your anger. Okay, I got it. The listening audience got it.
I'm tired of the damn talk.
Well, and
two people put recall in every political position, John. Just do it. Get recall on it, and then, like they did in Colorado, we'll pull your butt out of there, and we'll preach you some. We'll preach you some real interesting information if you open up. But just keep taking that blackmail money and putting in your Cayman Island accounts. And I know plenty of men have got them. Yeah. You better start waking up. You're being destroyed. And by the way, America, the middle class of America, have been totally destroyed. You're not going to recover. It's a third world country.
Okay.
It's going to, and you're not going to get it.
Mike, I've given you plenty of time. Okay. I appreciate your call. I know exactly where you're coming from. I do. And I sympathize.
John, let me just finish saying, and also Clint, too, keep up the good work, but some of that information I just gave you comes straight off the Rothschilds dinner table.
I got you, Mike. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. And look, understand, folks. I mean, seriously. We understand the problems. We understand where the problems are emanating from. We understand the power base. We understand the mechanisms that's being used against the people. Let me take the Bundy situation right now as an example. And hopefully Tom Lacovara, that's been out on the ground out there for, 5 days now, Mike? Yeah, 5 days. Oh, by the way, Pete Santilli has gotten in Tom Lacovara's face, and rather than the chicken crap fed informant out there really having this out in front of God and all of his people in attendance out there, he's doing it by way of his YouTube. And guess what he's calling Tom Lacovara? He's calling him a Fed. And I'm rather fascinated. Here's an agent provocateur, and here's a person out there that's really trying to provoke situations that don't need to be provoked. There's a door that's been opened, and if you're dumb enough to walk through it, okay, that, then God help you, whatever happens to you. But this is one of the instances that I've been talking about that can really start to turn things around. Clint, are you familiar with the Bundy thing, the most recent?
Just the most recent stuff, just vaguely. I was inspired to actually, and I'll do it someday, to create a documentary just on all the actual laws revolving around lands.
Right.
But other than that, no.
Okay. Well, what's happened here? Chris Ann Hall, she went out there and talked to a whole lot of people. And there are people within the city government out in Burns that have just stopped and said, wait a minute, you're right. This is on an issue that the government has been abusing people for half a century. And they're tired of it. And what they're now starting to see is a way that we get a good judge. We're allowed to present the evidence. we're allowed to present what these lands that the federal government claims that it owns, it does not belong to them. Here's a turning point or a tipping point in the argument. And there are many states out there and many people that will join in on this fight. And this is the way that you start to crack. Now, if the administrative BLM and Fish and Wildlife and these various agencies, up to and including the FBI and whomever else they brought in over the years on this, they get smacked down because they're revealed that they have a very, if not illegal or unconstitutional office of which they've been told to swear to and protect and defend this great country. What's starting to happen now are people are starting to recognize how things have been flipped, the absolute core corruption in this government and how they've been doing it. And this, ladies and gentlemen, it could be a tipping point because now that we got our foot in that administrative door, guess what, boys and girls, what else has been going on? We're going to have people's attention. And we were never going to have that. We were never going to have it on the scale that it is right now because we wouldn't. I am not a multi-billionaire. I cannot go out there and buy up 500 radio stations. I can't do it. If I had the money in which to do it, and we were, maybe Hodges ought to call into the show today now that I'm fired up. We had an opportunity to start making our way out there and make this network known to the public through various programs. If I could have landed John B. Wells, which he was a heartbeat away from coming on this network, we could have built 300-400 stations underneath him and made George Norrie look like the Clear Channel Control clown that he is. Folks, I know what I am doing. This isn't just some idea that I just got while I was sitting on the stool this morning. I've been doing this for a long time. I understand basic strategies. I understand who the enemy really is. And many of them is, you want to know who the enemy is? You said it earlier, Clint. I looked in the mirror and guess what? He is us.
It's sad but true.
Yeah. Rob in Chicago. Hello, Rob. Robbie.
Hi, John. We have to admit that we are our own worst enemy if we, you know, continue to just accept and do this. But one thing I wanted to point out that I'm sure you've kind of thought of this, but, they are so deliriously, psychotic in their delusions of what they're doing that they are now right, because usually a psychotic person eventually, you know, they start to believe that their own delusions are normal, that's their normalcy bias, that's, you know, that they're right. And what happens too is also with like thieves, they get sloppy because they get complacent that they're doing good, they keep doing it, they keep up the same pattern.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they get caught. And that's what, you know, Hal's doing. He's found the niche where they're leaving themselves open on a back door. And he's laying precedence. And that's what these morons are doing out there right now. They walked into that place and thought, well, we're just going to start doing this and we're going to do that. And these people are just nothing. They're not going to be able to. And that's why they're so complacent to not realizing that the alternative media, the people out there, the truthers, we are banging the right drums at the right time and pointing the fingers and saying, this is what they're doing. And that's why they haven't been able to. I'm sitting here going, why has this lasted this long? It's exactly what you said, John. They cannot make a move. They're in a chess game that they can't win at this moment.
That's exactly, and that's exactly why the FBI is not going to move on these people out there, because there's a lot of eyes watching this. There's a lot of people that were up to a few days ago part of that matrix, and they've stepped out of it. They're going, wait a minute here. You guys are right. That momentum has to be built off of. And, you know, we're not talking about a Ruby Ridge here. We're not talking about a Waco here. You know, what did they say about David Koresh, the famous headline? The evil Messiah. That was all a psyop on an unsuspecting public, and then they put it on television so you could sit there and watch people burn like marshmallows in a hot campfire. And people were sitting there rooting them on going, yes, those anti-government people down there. Well, look how many people that woke up. So the FBI is between a rock and a hard spot right now, and they don't dare make a move. I mean, even the governor of Oregon is now asking the Fed to move in and get this thing done with. Do you think she's going to be governor next term? I don't think so. Because the people are pissed off. The people are pissed off, and these cheap whores as politicians, whether they be governors, whether it be state legislatures, I don't care who they are. These people are now, they've got the spotlight on them, and the truth is starting to rise. And I don't want to see anything happen that's going to kill that flower that is just blooming called the truth, because many people are starting to see it for what exactly it is. This is a golden moment. I hope everybody enjoys it. Rob,
well,
I thank you.
I was just going to say, because, you know, right now, as the criminals that they are and the delusional criminals they are, they feel like they have the ability, have had the ability to just keep going and doing what they're doing keep getting away with it. And that's why they're getting sloppy. And hopefully we can finish the job.
I've always said that their Achilles heel is their arrogance. And it will be It will be their undoing. Rob, I thank you so much for your call.
Take care.
All right. Caesar. New York City. You getting any snow up? You getting any snow up there yet, Caesar?
No, sir. Good evening. How are you today?
Hi.
John, I just got one or two questions. I'm going to make it short and sweet because I know you have other callers. One, I think that this country, I think it's over. I think it's a done day. And I think this whole thing with this election with Mr. Trump, I think it's a dog and pony show. I think it's a diversion. I can't see how he could come up and do anything when Kennedy thought he was president, and look how he wound up. And remember that 1 week prior to that, he had made a speech to the secret societies denouncing them. So, you know, I don't really know. I think the country's gone, and I don't think it's coming back. This isn't the country that I grew up in as a kid.
Yeah.
We came to Queens in 1966. We lived in Florida, in Opa-locka, Florida, and we came out here. And when we came out here, it was beautiful. Now you don't even know. It's like you're in a third world country. When I first came to Queens, it was Irish, German, and Italian. Now you don't even know what it is. You walk into a store, the guy don't even speak English. You got to learn their language.
Well, and you know the funny thing about this, Caesar, the ethnic groups you just mentioned. That's my makeup. Half Italian, a quarter German, and a quarter Irish. And these are the immigrants that came into this country that lived in one room apartments. And they built basically what we would now consider to be tenements. But these are the people that came into this country, rolled up their sleeves, and built the thing. Caesar, I got a news flash for you. Hold on a second, Clint. I got a news flash for you, Caesar. You're out there. You remember. You're still breathing. We have a chance. The props and the sets are still here. The only thing that's littering this landscape are the corrupt, evil asshats that have to be removed from a few seats here and there. Everything else still remains. And by the way, on the debt, when we dump the Federal Reserve, we tell them to kiss our hind ends. You've extracted all the wealth you're going to. Write it off. Do whatever you want to do. But you know what? Go now, and go you must. And get your hat fast before we actually consider stringing you up.
I wanted to say, John,
that you have never spoken so articulately as you have tonight. You have really, you know, have really spelled it out, what it is. And I don't know where we're headed for. I'd just like to ask Clint a short question, because he hasn't been on the show lately. And the other day I called in, I wasn't able to speak to him. On the declaratory judgment, I'd like to know if the party is a naturalized citizen, they cannot do the declaratory. It only has to be like myself that was born here in this country, even though I'm first generation, because we're originally from Spain under the crown, under Francisco Franco.
All right, well, let's get the answer from Clint Richardson, Caesar, after this break. Frank and Tom, hang on, and others, 800-313-9443. We're back. By the way, in case you hadn't heard, what's old is new again. X-Files is coming back on TV on Fox, 9 o'clock Eastern time this Sunday night. And Clint, I was rather fascinated. One of the new people in that series has made the statement, and it's actually going to be in the series itself, talking about Bill O'Reilly. The guy says Bill O'Reilly knows about as much of the truth you could put it in an eyedropper. Found it fascinating. At any rate, Caesar, I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling you, my friend, we've got millions of people that are woke up. There's people educating themselves every day. So if you want to say the country's gone, say this to me, that the empire that they have built outside of that Constitution is what has to go. That is what is done. Not us. Not us. As long as I live and I breathe.
You gotta, here's my complaint about people, especially people who are constitutionally oriented, constitutionalists, patriots, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Caesar, I use you as an example, though I know you're very, very, very smart when it comes to this stuff, but, you know, you just said that, you know, this country is finished. It's kampoop. And I would agree with you in the sense of the nation, right? The nation is a corporation, Washington, D.C. It's a municipal corporation that we are all in nativity or in its district, which means seizure of, yes, that needs to go away. The problem that I have is, if I look at the word country, if I look up the word country in so many various sources, you get all kinds of things. It's where you're born. It's your nativity, which actually is a bad word in legal law. It's the district where you're born. It could be America is my country or Connecticut is my country. And my problem with most people who worship all of this stuff in the Constitution, worship the notion of the republics, not the republic, because the Washington, D.C. is not a republic.
No, it's not.
Only the states are a republic. Everybody says this country, when they're talking about a frickin' nation. They're not talking about their country because they're not connected to the state that they live in. They're only connected to the United States, which is a very small little district, and they're foreigners in the states where they live, their temporary residence. My problem is that most people forget the notion that their country is the state.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the state, the republic that
Thank
they
you.
Live in, not the nation. When you say the country and you're referring to the United States, wholeheartedly, let's get rid of the federal aspect of it, if you want to be a quote unquote anti-federalist. But when you're talking about this country, I'm in Utah, you're in New York, John, you're in Texas, which country are you talking about?
I'm in the Republic of Texas. I don't know where the hell you are. But I'm in a Republic of Texas. You're in a Republic of Utah.
Well, we've all been conned into being in the so-called Republican nation.
Now I understand where you've been coming from all these years. Okay.
Yeah.
And what have I always said, Clint? That the way this is going to happen, it has to happen through the states. Yeah, because most assuredly, Washington, D.C. is gone. I mean, you know, there's absolutely no argument about that. And it does not represent the other 50 republics, and this is what the FBI was hot on over a year ago, disseminating all this to law enforcement to keep them geeked up and scared and turned against the people. They kept saying that all these sovereign citizens, they'd much rather just shoot you if you got a shiny badge and a gun than even have a conversation during a routine traffic stop. They'd much rather just drop you in the street. No. And a lot of these guys are starting to get this. This is why I've talked against pulling a bullhorn out, shoving it in a cop's face and screaming at him to only prove to them exactly how unbalanced you really are. Not passionate. You're just an angry asshat to them. This is why I've said you can always get to men as long as they have a heart and a mind left, because these guys didn't come into this world through their mama's uterus with a badge on. It would have been real hard to give birth. They were born as human beings, just like you and I. And if you want to get through to them, talk to them as men.
The whole purpose of a police, the only way that a police officer can possibly have any authority over you is if you admit, basically show the police officer that you're a United States citizen. If you're a private citizen of the state, they have no authority over you.
And
but we're public.
Yeah.
You see, and that's the problem.
And the
We're identifying with our country, which is the United States, instead of our state.
And our administrative friend out there, the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cop, doesn't know that.
It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Ow. Yeah, it is. You imagine, Clint, if I would have had the money Alex Jones had and I strategically went around and did, let me see, what should I say? License management agreements with radio stations that I take the 1,000 or 5,000 water that's on its keister and I offered them a deal that they couldn't turn down and they could maintain their license. And we start putting real talk radio on these smaller stations going into the biggest markets. Holy mackerel. With people that actually make sense, sound sane, give full explanation as to what we are talking about without the screaming and the yelling and the deflection and Arabs own Hollywood.
Well, gosh, John, you'd need a bunch of Jewish sponsors to do that, kind of like Alex Jones.
No, I wouldn't, because I'd be the Donald Trump. I don't need nobody's damn money. That's why I can walk on my own.
Well, I wish you luck in that endeavor.
Well, I was well on my way until some asshat blew it out of the water. Remember that? I think we've had conversation about that.
Yes.
Okay. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Hello. I would like to offer myself up as the bad guy of the day. I've sketched out a page of notes here.
Oh.
Things, because I tend to speak better that way, because I go off, my mind wanders, and I think of all kinds of other things I'd like to say. But
gotcha.
Yeah. The problem is collaborators. Compromised individuals as well. Officials blackmailed because of their personal indiscretions and their personal life, etc. U.S. Representative.
Can I ask you a real quick question before you go on?
Okay.
Are you a taxpayer?
Yes.
Does that not make you a collaborator?
That's fine. That's your opinion.
Just making sure we understand that we're all collaborating. There is no one that's not collaborating.
I don't buy that, but that's your opinion. U.S. Representative of North Carolina, Walter Jones, he's been around for quite some time here in North Carolina. He has stated in at least two interviews that I've heard personally that most of his colleagues on the Hill are blackmailed or otherwise compromised.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty interesting statement. I don't think I've heard too many other of his colleagues say that. But at the core of it all, we have an alien tribe among us in power. And more so because the ultimate sin, the ultimate transgression in America, in the world today, really in the West at least, is to point that out and to identify who this criminal mafia, whatever you want to call them, is. The problem is even the people that know there's a problem don't know what is the root of the problem, what's the core of the problem, mainly because no one has ever told them who is at the root of the problem. And the people... And people like to misinterpret and misstate what I'm going to say. They love to do that. But the people have to be given an enemy. I'm not talking about smart guys who think out of the box and all that. The masses, in order to mobilize them, and we have to have numbers. John talks about that all the time. I agree. We have to have massive numbers, hundreds of thousands of people, at least tens of millions. They have to be given an enemy. I'm not talking about making up an enemy. But they have to be given some type of enemy that they can focus their attention on. Like, you know, in World War II, it was the Japs, or the Jerry, or the Hun, or whatever. You know, in Vietnam, it was, you know, the Gooks, or whatever.
Now it's the terrorist. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, okay. I don't believe that there is going to be any political solution. It's not going to be pretty one way or the other. Either we're just going to totally go into enslavement. Neo-feudalistic, just, you know, everything's going to fall apart. It's Mad Max, whatever. It's not going to be pretty no matter what. But these people as a group see the country whatever you want to call it, country, nation, whatever, I'm not a wordsmith, they see the country and its people as hosts to be parasited off of. And there's really no complete assimilation because they don't see themselves as Americans. They see themselves as Jews, a group, a tribal group, an ultra-racist tribal group, not all of them, but most of them, and they're always going to support that group, and they're always going to go along with it in the end, and most people don't know that.
Okay, but let me ask you a question here, Frank. I understand where you're coming from, and what would be the best measure? What would be the absolute best measure that you could do, say, for a counterinsurgency against these people?
Well,
I'll tell you what it is. You dump what they've been using as their power source, their little energizer bunny that they've been using in this country for over a century. You take the damn money away from them. Take the damn money away from them. You know, I mean, there have been people that have actually came out. I'll tell you one guy that did this almost 100 years ago. And he did a series of writings, and then he put it in a four-volume set and put it on of all the shelves of the Ford dealerships across this country. His name was Henry Ford. The essays were entitled, when they were bound, it was simply Volume 1, 2, and 3, and 4 of The International Jew. And it surrounded, the entire thing surrounded around the banking and the brand new bag that they had invented. These people knew it back then. And I get what you're saying, Frank. I get exactly what you're saying. The only thing we're arguing here is semantics of what has to be done.
We're talking about mobilization of the masses, and unfortunately they're very, very difficult to get to because they're too busy watching all
the masses.
Circuses.
Yeah.
Another word for people, or common people, or masses, or multitude, or generality, or commonality, or plebes, or what is goyim? We are their goyim. I mean, that's the first thing we have to admit to ourselves is that we've been duped. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I go up, I remember in New York when I first moved there, I was watching some guy do the cup and the balls trick. I was young enough to fall for it. And, yeah, I got $100. I know where the ball is. Turns out the ball's palmed in his hand. It's not under any of the cups. And you know what I did? I said, oh, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to admit that I just got conned, and I'm going to prevent myself from being conned anymore. I'm never going to do this type of stupid behavior again. And that's what we got to do. We got to admit first that we've been conned with the money system. Then we can go from there. But until we admit that, again, we are collaborating. We know the money system is corrupt. We are the ones that are spending it. We're the ones respecting it. And because we respect it, we have billionaires who control everything. But imagine a billionaire with a bunch of goyim who don't respect their money.
Oops.
Yeah, what happens then?
Yeah.
See, we're the problem. And I this is why my show's never going to be popular. This is why my book's never going to be popular, because I'm telling you, you, me, John, we are the problem. We're the ones acting exactly as they tell us we're acting. Go read a book called You Goyim. It talks about how everything we do is sport.
Well,
everything we do is this ridiculous Clint, game that we play.
Clint.
We are the problem.
Clint. I hope I'm part of the solution. You keep putting me in I'm the problem category, I'm going to go home and never come back.
Well, I'll say it again, man. I say this all the time. The word solution has only one meaning in law, and it means end of contract. Every time you spend money, that's contract.
Sold.
Every time you spend money in your name,
okay, so
that's
we,
a contract.
So we cancel the contract with the Federal Reserve banking system. We cancel that contract. How's that one?
It's not, you want to get down to the nitty gritty. Money is the problem. Period. End of story with everything. It truly is the root of all evil. Getting past that is.
Clint, let me correct. I don't want to go to loggerheads with you, but the money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And
that's a common mistake that I've corrected on my show plenty of times, because the word love is actually the word leaf in believe or believe. It means love. if you believe that money has value, or if you believe, as the maxim of law says, everything can be valued in money, but money can be valued in nothing. So you literally are putting a false value on everything when you value it in money. That's love.
No wonder people were pulling their hair out when they listen to your show sometimes. Because I do this on a level that people understand. And
so if you understand that belief is love, when the church says believe in God, you don't just say, oh, okay, I believe in God. No, you love God. You love God's law. You love the script. You actually do what it says. To have a love of money is to believe that it exists, to believe that it has value, to believe that it has power and authority, to believe in debt, and to believe that nature, which is priceless, has a price.
But see, I'm not going to complicate that explanation to people. I will simply tell them that money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. In other words, you're cleaving to that so tightly. Now, whether you believe in all that other explanation, it is unnecessary for the newbie first coming in. You've already lost him before you got his attention. Well, you know,
because I've had so many people say, finally, I understand what that phrase means, actually. And it's right, because you're quoting from the Bible. You better go to the concordances and actually see what it means. Or you can't just say it with an ignorance that we use in America of the language barrier. It's a legal term.
Yeah, but see, sometimes the message gets lost. And Clint, I'll be honest with you, I had a lot of people, they were scratching their heads and going, well, we don't know exactly where Clint's going. You know, the Constitution I don't look at as being a con job. And in my estimation, it didn't start out that way. And I've had this argument with people for decades. Because then I ask the obvious question. Okay, you're going to present somebody as a way, not necessarily the salvation of it all, but you're going to point to something that at least we can get back to this little safe spot and then go on from there. And, you know, what am I going to tell people? Okay, believe in me because I'm the new Santa Claus, or believe me because I'm the new this. No, what I'm going to tell them is, look, this is the Constitution, and this is who it was meant for. It wasn't meant for you, the individual, because you already had the rights granted to us by God. And see, that's a problem for other people. God, well, yeah, now you're talking about fanciful things. I suppose next you're going to tell me there's a devil. People get involved and sidetracked to the point that they become absolutely useless to themselves or anybody else. I have a tendency to spell this out in clear, understandable, repeatable statements so people get it. And
well, wait a minute. So, but you're assuming that your statements are correct, right? That ultimately that everything you're saying is correct, which is one of those things that you really have to break
down and realize. What? Well, then you need to get back on the air and make this thing especially clear. Go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry.
John, you made a very interesting and I think compelling statement earlier when you talk about the founding fathers and what eventually happened to most, if not all of them. I thought that is a very thought provoking statement. And I would just say this as a side note, and I'll go away. In my personal opinion, I'm only 49 years old, but I've been watching this a long time, and I've only been awake for about 10 years, a little over 10 years. But if you take the funny money away, they will just re-infiltrate whatever system that you create, will take that over.
Frank, and I disagree with that. You know, look, empires have come and empires have gone. Countries have come and countries have gone. Societies, cultures come and gone. You know, I don't think there's anything really permanent on this earth. And I understand perfectly what you just said to me. But for every time, and see, this is what Clint said in the last hour. You know, you want to know what the problem is? The problem is us. We weren't on guard. We didn't understand not just the government's role and what their purview was and what they could do and what they couldn't do. It was our involvement in this process, and we put it on automatic pilot and then turn around a couple hundred years later and bitch and complain that everything's gone south. Well,
it's diabolical. It's diabolical.
It is.
The mind control. But, the mind control, though, that everybody is put through, it's diabolical and it is overwhelming. It's amazing that any of us can break free of it.
Well, and
you know what, though? The fallacy is that the Constitution just automatically applies. We consider that the Constitution just suddenly automatically applies to us when we're born, and that is a grave, grave error. That is not how it works. We look at it and we say, oh, this is, you know, you read the court cases, you read, I start actually doing this research, you find out the constitutional, there's not even a such thing, if you will, as constitutional law. It's kind of a misnomer because the Constitution, it has very little respect in the government itself, even though the framers were, you know, it's a fundamental law, but it wasn't designed for us. It wasn't designed for their slaves or their indentured servants.
Well,
it was designed for them. You said, John, you want to go back into this little area where we have safety. Well, Benjamin Franklin said those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Yeah, okay. I know. I get that. No, I've heard that before, too, as well. No, I've heard that before. But it's each generation. Look. The chain has been broken a long time ago.
But it hasn't. This is what I'm trying to get across to people. This system is not broken. It's working exactly how it was. It was perfect. It's been improved, in fact, because you're not realizing that these guys, first of all, were attorneys. Second of all, this is organized crime.
I couldn't disagree with you more, Clint. Disagree with you more. It has been used and perverted and added to, and I have used the examples of how they've sidestepped that Constitution.
So you don't think slavery is organized crime?
Well, absolutely I do, but when this country...
Well, the Constitution is very happy to promote slavery.
Listen to me, Clint. When we started out, most people, in reference to slavery in this country, people like my friend Ron McDonald, they own it all, including you, by way of toxic currency. That's ownership of who you are and what you do and how you do business. That wasn't here 237, 38 years ago. We did have at one time honest money. It was corrupted people that kept corrupting the honest money. What I'm saying, there is a set of standards. There is a set of standards that each generation, and more importantly, the understanding of what they're dealing with, needs to successively be transmitted to each up-and-coming generation.
You don't think that's a bit of a fallacy? Honest money? Honest money.
No, I don't think it's a fallacy at all.
Honest and money together in the same sentence is not a...
Okay.
Really.
Well, all right.
Inalienable rights. But in the end, really, you only have the rights that you're willing to die for and kill for, period.
Well, Frank?
That's this world. That's the real world.
Yeah. Frank, hey, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Boy, I could...
Honest money, really.
You know,
honest money.
If Deanna...
That's just one of the mythologies of...
If Deanna Spingola was not coming on live in 10 minutes here, you and I would have to do another 2 hours. Thanks, Frank. Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, good day, John. Good evening, John. How are you? John, here's off to Caesar. Donald Trump, England or Great Britain or, Emerald Isle, whatever they want to call that place, they're talking if you want to ban Trump, but, 8 out of 10 kids that are being born males over there are named Muhammad. Now, I think Donald Trump is, the only salvation we do have for this country, because what are you going to put, a Hillary or a Sanders in there?
Yeah.
Or a Cruz?
Yeah.
Let's get real here.
Well,
as far as Caesar wants to talk about what happened in New York, all he has to do is come to South Florida. We still have the wet foot, dry foot policy still in place. We've been invaded with every kind of thing you can imagine. They don't want to speak English down here. So let's go from there, and then I'll talk to Clint about some few things that I want to get off my chest for Clint. But go ahead, John. I want to hear what you got to say.
No, you just ranted, and I don't want to make any comment on it.
Well, isn't like Trump, wouldn't Trump be, you know, the first thing he, in his first debate, he was like, I've got all these politicians in my pocket. And they all pretty much, you know, blushed because they knew it was true. Isn't the election of Donald Trump, who's one of the bloodline, they're all related. Hillary Clinton is his, their 18th great grandfather is connected. In other words, that's their bloodline. So they're all part of that. We're always electing someone who's related. You know, it's just how it is. Because that's who's going to be president of their system, which is not our system. Isn't electing Trump kind of like admitting defeat? Like, okay, let's just put in the most corrupt possible politician, or excuse me, a corporate CEO who's just got this horrible record. I mean, isn't that kind of a defeat? It's like admitting that the corruption. I mean, in one way, it kind of turns me on because, yeah, at least we're having some guy that understands how corrupt things are and is honest about it. At the other hand, I'm like, wow. So now we're at least being honest that we are totally corrupt, and we're basically gonna elect one of the demons at Satan's side to be our president. That's a little concerning to me.
Quinn, let me cut in there. Let me ask something. Look what happened in Germany here. You had a bunch of Muslims came in here raping German women and gulping them and all that. Now, what would happen if like 100 Northern European males were going to the Middle East and do that to their women? What do you think would happen there, Glenn?
I hate to say it, but that's what's happening in Germany.
We're going to go into the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, I wonder, is that in the Quran, Quinn?
I want you to ask me about Germany and Merkel the Berserker, who's a communist,
East German communist.
Okay.
You should really look at the record of our military and how many women it rapes in Germany. American soldiers.
Before
right?
you
so
pass
saying
stones,
Muslims, yeah. it's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you there. Unless you live in a bulletproof house, don't throw stones or shoot guns.
Sure.
Tom in Michigan. Hello, Tom.
Guys, first of all, thank you so much for basically just donating your whole lives to this thankless cause.
Yeah, some have the luxury, like Clint Richardson, to step back and take some time off. I can't.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the lap of luxury.
No, I didn't say you were in the lap of luxury. No, that's not what I did. I didn't say that.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I'm just a working stiff, and I can't afford to donate, but you know what? I do, and everybody needs to.
Thank you.
Just make a monthly payment, and you'll work your life around it.
Well, and you know what? It pays dividends, Tom. It really does, because
it will.
The store is open, the lights are on, the doors open, and anybody and everybody is allowed to come in and peruse the wares that we offer.
And it ain't much. I was very unimpressed. I came down to talk to John. I'm like, if I'm going to do your show, I'm going to come meet you face to face. I go into that studio and it's, you know, this old equipment, not anything really updated to it. There was a few things that were pretty fancy, and I'm like, all right, this is legitimate.
What did you think you were coming down here to see Alex Jones or what?
I didn't know what I'd see. Freaking syndicate thing. I don't know, but no, I mean, you know.
Okay.
Very legit.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you came down. I wish you could have stayed longer. Yeah. Anyhow, Tom.
Okay, sounds like you two simmered down some. you have a question for Clint. And we can scream and yell about who's running the world and everything, but we need to take care of our own little yards here. And I'm a working guy, a corporate slave, with a mortgage on a house in a subdivision in the town. I've been reading some things about quiet titles and federal land patents. I'm wondering, does any of that apply to me, or can I just skip that?
What's the final question? I'm sorry.
Well, quiet title. If I'm just a guy in a subdivision with a mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, see,
is that the only thing that disputes?
A quiet title, it's sort of like the notion of a perfect title. Quiet and perfect are kind of the same notion, where you don't have a lien or any other defect to the title. And the problem is, again, U.S. citizens cannot be landholders. Public persons are not landholders. The only people that actually can be electors or vote, as it was written in the Constitution, were the landholders, which again were those private people, not us. So to the notion that a public citizen can have a perfect or quiet title, I don't personally think that that's a possibility. It's like saying that a slave could own his own land on the plantation.
Tom, and I'm exactly with you. I've got a mortgage, I live in a community, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm right there,
well,
too.
Well, I see all these videos are saying, oh, you need to do a quiet title, or you need to get a federal land patent.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can go through the process. But again, it's your status that's the problem. It's not the status of the land it is not as more important as it as the status of your blood. And your blood is attainted or corrupted. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because the blood and the land, they go together.
Yep. Tom, I'll tell you what, we're about flat out of time here.
Yep, great, thanks.
All right, thanks for your call. And folks, as my friend just said here, you know, that he's not rich, but he still makes an effort every month to donate to this network. Have you noticed all the networks are up and disappearing? They're going bye-bye. And I want to be around for the party. Because when things start to get really hot and really interesting, I want to be able to broadcast that to you. So 2016 is going to be a very interesting year, Clint Richardson, in more ways than one. I guarantee that.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for spending the 2 hours with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, John, man, yeah. May you live in interesting times.
The old Chinese curse. Or was that a blessing?
Oh, no.
Hey, Clint, thanks.
So much, man.
Okay, thank you. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you Monday. Don't forget, X-Files is on Sunday and Monday nights. Two things to look forward to, Donald Trump election and the X-Files are coming back. Okay, all right, maybe that's not quite true.